As parents, we often assume that because we're financially responsible for our children, that we also are privy to the vital decisions being made on their behalf. However, this is not always true. Does your minor child have the capability to seek out medical treatments and make important health decisions without your consent or even knowledge? Join me today with my in-studio guest who will expose this frightening concept of medical independence for our children. I'm Charisse Parton, and this is Return to Eden. Hey. Welcome to Return to Eden. Straight from the investigative team of Skywatch TV, best-selling author and co-author of The Health Exposé and international best-selling book Time Bomb, welcome Allie Henson.
Hi.
Also joining our conversation is a board-certified holistic health practitioner, a professional fitness and nutrition specialist, COO of Skywatch TV, and author of best-selling books, including the internationally acclaimed book Time Bomb. Welcome, Joe Horn.
Hey.
Hey, welcome.
Hi, everybody.
So, Allie.
Yes.
In the introduction, that's kind of a frightening little stack of things that played out there. So, Tell me, what is medical autonomy?
Okay. Well, medical autonomy is the understanding that I am the one who is in charge of the kind of medical pursuit that I do with my body.
Right.
So, for example, we see medical autonomy come into question. Well, first of all, it's presumed with small children. You have a 3-year-old who's got an ear infection. Clearly, the child is not going to be set down and explained all of his options and which path would he like to go.
Right.
The parent makes an executive decision because the parent has medical autonomy over the child.
Okay.
Sure.
And we
okay.
see medical autonomy come into question again in the later years when people maybe lose the ability to care for themselves. And the family lovingly and with all the well-meaning in the world, sure, they have to step
somebody
in.
Somebody might be on life support
and
the doctor's prognosis is grim. You
very
know.
Grim.
That or in the situation where maybe a person is entering the phases of dementia and they're not cognitively able to make the decisions about their medical
maybe
care.
Maybe a potential injury to themselves. Like
exactly.
Aware of a flight of stairs or...
Yeah.
Exactly. So medical autonomy becomes a conversation that takes place when you're dealing with somebody who, for whichever reason, can't make their own medical decisions. Otherwise, we are, as adults, presumed to have our own medical autonomy.
Sure.
So a lot of parents make the assumption that when their children live in the house with them.
Right. And, under 18.
And exactly. Yeah. I'm financially
in
responsible
school.
For you. I'm still making sure you have food. I'm still doing all these other things. I must also have medical autonomy over you.
Right.
But that's actually not true. Most states grant medical autonomy to children starting at early teen years, usually between 13 and 15 years old, and it comes incrementally over the teen years. So as early as 13 to 15 years old, depending on what state a child lives in, they could actually end up being autonomous over their own medical situation, which, by the way, don't forget, is protected by HIPAA law.
That
so as a parent, exactly, as a parent, you could be completely oblivious to something your child has decided to do, and that is protected from your disclosure by HIPAA laws.
And you're saying most states now. Mm-hmm. Most states now. I wonder how many parents know that.
How many
parents? Mm-hmm. So if I have a 13-year-old girl and let's say she's in public school, and where might she have opportunity to make a self-navigated health decision that I'm not aware of?
Exactly. And you won't know because it's protected by HIPAA laws. Nobody is going to make you aware.
But most states, I'm serious. We've got some parents here today. Did you guys know that? So we've got one parent here out of several that knew that. I mean, that's insane to me.
It's totally insane.
Because, you know, as a child, you haven't even lived. I mean, this is just obvious. I don't even have to state this. But as a child, you have not even amassed enough life experience to comprehend, in my view, making your own healthcare decisions. Mm-hmm. What is now constituted as a healthcare decision?
Well, there it is. What is?
Does this include medications or surgeries?
Well, one thing that a lot of parents are also unaware of is the fact that they may find out that schools have arranged things like vaccinations, and schools can even arrange things like provision for abortions, for birth control, for things like this. So you sign a consent at the beginning of the year, even if your child is underage, or they can sign it for themselves depending on the age that the state has granted medical autonomy.
Gosh.
The enrollment papers that you sign at the beginning of the year, you give your address.
Through the school?
Yes.
So it's really important for you at home look at those papers. Read everything that you are signing, because you don't know what you're signing away.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're giving your emergency contact information, and then in there somewhere there's permission. And like I said, if the child has medical autonomy, you may not even see this form, but it is permission for your child to see the school nurse. Well, what does that cover?
Right.
That depends on where you're living and what's offered.
Oh, my gosh. I remember being in school, and, you know, some of you in the studio audience, you know, I couldn't take a Tylenol.
That's right.
Without,
I remember
they've
that.
Got to call my
That's
parents
right.
or find the form. No, they didn't let you have it,
yeah.
you know.
One of the many times when I was a kid and faked being sick to get to go home.
Which That's funny.
No, I'm serious. I faked it more than I was ever actually sick. But I remember those phone calls.
Yeah.
The principal and they're talking, and some nurse at the school would
right.
have to call my parents before they would do anything.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, they might take my temperature to see first.
Yeah.
If they could
Is
tell my
really?
Mom.
He, yeah.
Well, right now he's at 98, so, you know, he's okay. But he's claiming that he's dying.
No,
but
exactly.
His
yeah.
temperature doesn't reflect that,
fine.
So he
he's,
might be okay.
Got a math test in it
but
now,
no,
or that
you're
might
right.
have
like,
something to do with it.
So 30 years ago, 40 years ago, like you said, an aspirin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what might a student, now look at culture around you.
No, right.
What might a young, easily persuadable young person be tempted to do with that
gosh.
Kind of power over their bodies?
I actually can tell you that this is a parent's horror story. A woman in Seattle, Washington. She knew that her daughter had consent to go see the school nurse, but she's thinking things like, can you look at my throat and see if maybe I need to go to the doctor? Maybe it's strep, maybe it's not, whatever.
Yeah.
She finds out after the fact that the girl had gone to the school nurse. The school arranged for a pregnancy test. Then during school hours arranged for a taxi to take her to an abortion clinic. She had an abortion. And then after the fact, because of the psychological backlash of her having made this decision without parental counsel, the mom finds out this decision was made outside. She finds out after the fact. So here's the thing I want to say, too. This is important to understand. This is not conservative versus liberal.
I can't.
This is not Christian versus non-Christian.
Right.
If you have a child. Honestly, when it comes to this, it doesn't matter whether you are pro-choice or pro-life.
Right.
Your child needs your counsel
Guidance.
Making this decision.
Yes.
You know, this is not something.
Support
if, and this girl was 15.
Or not support or, you know,
exactly.
all the things.
And this girl was 15 when she had an abortion without even talking to her parents about it. And the school arranged for the whole thing. And they told her that if she kept it secret, that all the financial things would be taken care of. So the parents never even received a bill. Remember, this is protected by HIPAA law.
So they were baiting her to maintain a secret or therein lie to her parents under the guises of, we will take care of the financial responsibility, but if you tell your parents, then they're going to be liable to pay for it.
Now, I do need to say that that's according to the mother's statement.
Gotcha.
So,
but okay, even just scrap the financial burden. Imagine
The mental,
if
emotional?
You're a frightened 14-year-old who gets pregnant and you're literally mortified at the reality that maybe your dad's going to be quite upset about this or something.
Oh, yeah.
How many? I'm just saying, how many young people might actually think of a scenario like that and think, my counselors and my nurse are giving me an out where one hand washes the other. Mm-hmm. I never face being grounded. My dad doesn't have to know. You know, we're putting together hypotheticals here,
no,
but I mean,
sure.
I'm wondering, like,
so there's no counseling.
Again, you're a child.
Right.
The way that your brain, you haven't even lived long enough to think about it in terms
there's
of
there's a lot of
the
development in the
scope.
Brain that has not happened
no.
yet.
What,
and the
what you go through emotionally at 20 in retrospect later isn't even a part of the radar at this point.
The ability to understand the long-term consequences of your actions is not even fully solidified into your neurological development until you're between 21 and 25 years old.
Exactly.
So granting medical autonomy 5 to 7 years earlier than that, it's a dichotomy where we're, of course, a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old who's scared to death of the circumstances they are in, who you have two choices. Don't tell your parents or tell your parents. What kid goes, oh yeah, I want to tell my parents, when they think they have an out, but they can't possibly understand the aftermath to the decisions that they're facing.
Right.
You know, and we're also talking about hormone transitional therapy and things like that. Again, whichever side of this issue you're on is completely beside the point.
Right.
Your child needs your counsel as they're making these decisions.
So, Allie, for me, I'm sitting here and I'm hearing you. You know, I'm thinking back. You know, I've got grandbabies now, but I'm thinking back to where we were raising our three kids, you know, and how the morning chaos is get the backpacks and get your breakfast and get your lunch money. And why aren't your shoes on? You need pants. Let's get a shirt. I mean, the whole.
Right.
But yet, the school and legislation, your government, has allowed the school to become the surrogate for your parental decision on your children's major medical decision-making and life-changing.
That's the thing.
Life-changing procedures, medications, vaccinations. That's what's really happening.
Yeah. And as you said, life altering. Some of these things are small, you know, like, do I have strep throat? Do I not?
Sure.
And by the way, some of these programs can be good in the sense that the school will do vision testing, hearing screening, scoliosis checking. I mean,
standard.
A lot of well-meaning parents don't think to check for things like scoliosis you know, he's got a behavioral issue. You don't realize that maybe he's got a hearing problem, you know, so there's a certain way this can work, but keeping an eye on it and the permanency of some of these decisions. You know, there's no undoing this Seattle, Washington mother's nightmare.
No.
There's no going back from that. There's only picking up from now. And so regardless of whether or not you were told and whether or not you were involved in the decision, as a parent, you are going to be part of the cleanup.
Oh,
and of
absolutely.
Course, you wouldn't opt not to be,
no,
you know,
no.
But to not be included in that, you know, I'm a little bit more old fashioned in this way. I just feel like when kids are living under your roof, you need to be allowed to be involved in every aspect of their life. And I do understand the need for teenager autonomy. Where are we going to go on Friday night? Or, you know, who's my BFF this week or whatever, you know, things like that. But these very permanent decisions that they are not even ready. You know, the way I learned about medical autonomy is that my 15-year-old son, I think it was a sore throat or an ear infection. It was some routine thing. And I took him to the doctor and I left to go to the restroom. And when I came back, the nurse had him in the corner and they're talking all hushed. And there's a clipboard and he's signing something and he's nodding like, okay, I understand. And I walked in and I thought, what did
happened?
I just miss?
Yeah.
And because he signed, she turns around and she starts telling me, in this state, you know, it's 15 years old. And I was making sure you had his consent to be in the room. And I was thinking,
what?
He didn't even drive himself here.
No,
you
exactly.
You know, seriously.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it's not like I guess maybe I am a little bit of a mother hen. But, you know,
15.
The idea that he's 15. And so what are they? He can't get himself there without me. How's he going to deal with the repercussions of whatever comes out of this without me? You know, that's how I learned about it in the first place.
Oh,
and
gosh.
It's only because I walked in at that moment. I may never have known that he signed something giving me permission to know what was getting ready to happen, which was,
you know, I'm wondering too if some of this isn't being rationalized, because, you know, a lot of really terrible stuff is always under the umbrella along with a lot of, like she said, you know, hearing tests, good things. And I'm wondering how many parents might be watching this show and say, yeah, I get it. Some of these are big decisions. But what if there was a child, I'm 13, 14, to me, still child, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what if there's a young person who's being abused at home? Mm-hmm. And that's how we've rationalized this need for autonomy, because without the ability to get them away from the parents and then do a physical examination or a whatever with the child's consent, we may not know that they're being abused in various ways at home. I mean, do you see that as part of the way that some of these states are rationalizing this?
Absolutely. Honestly, I do. I think that's been a part of what's paved the way for the legislation that has now created this. But when you look at some of the issues where they make the arguments like this, that actually accounts for a very small portion of the actual situations. And so you start, like so many other things, you start with this idea.
Sounds very noble.
Yeah.
Altruistic.
Yeah. It's designed for a person's protection and to help in bad situations. And pretty soon it takes off and it becomes this whole other crazy thing that's not what anybody intended.
People add to it.
Or it's been exploited, maybe.
Right.
You know, maybe presented in one way and switched. Not that I've written any books about that, Dark Covenant.
Dark Covenant.
Exactly.
So, not that lobbyists persuade anything that's decided upon with our judicial system or our laws.
We're going to have to take a really quick break, but when we come back, we're going to tell you parents what you can do on this important issue.
Millions of Americans are suffering a health crisis epidemic right now. Trouble with digestion, diabetes, chronic fatigue, hormone imbalances, depression, autoimmune disease, and more. The truth for many is that the real culprit of modern disease is simply a lack of vitally important nutrition. It is well established that the food we eat today has but just a fraction of the nutrition it once carried. Over the last six decades, there has been an alarming fall in nutrient density across the board, from fruits and vegetables to meat, dairy and eggs, due to soil depletion and intensive agricultural growing and harvesting methods. This means that less and less key nutrients like riboflavin, thiamine, niacin, fiber, copper, vitamin E, and phosphorus, just to name a few, are present in what we eat. What's worse, almost all of our food is laden with poisonous herbicides, pesticides, and antibiotics, which destroy our body's microbiome, the health of our digestive tracts, where 80% of our immune system resides. In short, it means that we're not being nourished properly. And when you add the constant exposures to toxic chemicals we were never meant to ingest, our bodies are destined for the rise of disease and dysfunction. But what if I told you it didn't have to be this way? At Eden's Essentials, we provide the absolute best and cleanest nutrient-dense whole food supplements and personal care products on the market, derived directly from non-genetically modified foods grown from clean soil, free of pesticides, herbicides, and biosediments to achieve the highest quality nutrition possible. So what is the Eden's Essentials difference? Well, many supplements on the market are packaged, labeled, and presented as healthy or even organic. But under the microscope, the ingredients may tell a different story. From expensive products being nutritionally void of what is advertised on the label, or using synthetic vitamins that our bodies struggle to absorb, to containing the same pesticides and herbicides we've already mentioned being used on foods, it's difficult to know what products are actually safe or as advertised. At Eden's Essentials, our products undergo a series of the most complete and rigorous raw material tests in the industry to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality bioabsorbable nutrition possible. We take pride in offering the most nutritionally dense supplements and the purest personal hygiene products available today. Our desire is to help serve the needs of everyday people so that they can achieve the highest degree of health possible. From our full-spectrum, immunity-boosting fermented mushrooms, some of nature's most powerful antiviral nutrition, to our 100% fermented organic whole beetroot powder for cardiovascular support, and our special Eden's blood sugar support for assisting proper insulin regulation, you can nourish your body like never before. So revolutionize your health, maximize your immunity, and restore your vitality. Experience for yourself the Eden's Essentials difference and join the Eden's family. Visit edensessentials.com today.
Welcome back. Okay, so on the other side of the break, mm-hmm. we were talking about how your son had signed this form, mm-hmm. and this is how you learned of this. So
yeah.
What can we as parents or grandparents, what can we do? How do we get ahead of this? How do we stay on top of this?
Well, I was a lucky parent who found out that this had taken place.
Accidentally,
so first
yeah.
of all, being informed that this even
is a thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah, is a thing. And one of the most important things is to be approachable before you have an issue. So be approachable yeah. to your kids from a young age and know specifics about their life. So for example, don't ask, how is your day? Ask, how is your friend Billy? Or how is your math class going? Or
details.
Yeah, different yeah. things like that. Know specifics about their life and being approachable. They're, yeah. I mean, if like I said earlier, if they've got choice, don't tell or tell what I've done.
Right.
If they think they can approach you and are safe doing it,
yeah.
they're more likely to talk to you
yeah.
about that. There are other things you can do. Being informed about what your state and local laws are.
That's a huge one,
one,
I think.
Thing.
So you could
mm-hmm.
probably Google.
Yeah.
Go look online in your state, maybe your municipality. Maybe some municipalities have some variants.
Mm-hmm.
They can look that up online.
Yeah, and then knowing specifically to your school district what's available as well.
That's
what does your school nurse offer? What are the services offered through your school?
Gotcha.
Like I said, when they have medical autonomy, usually this paperwork is done separately than the enrollment. You may not even realize this is out there and that it's happening.
What's challenging in my brain right now is the last couple of years with a specific virus.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents have not been able to go into the school.
Mm-hmm.
They've sent the paperwork home. Now you send your kid in a mask to the school with the completed paperwork. You don't really get to ask the questions or go
right.
to an open house or meet the teacher night.
Right.
That
mm-hmm.
just, that paralyzes me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so scary.
And I think it's really important, too, with kids. And I know a lot of parents, they get tired of having to have conversations where they justify their standpoint. But I think it's really important that kids understand the why. Yeah,
why.
Not just because I said so. If you can explain to them, look, I'm advocating for you.
Yeah.
This is the way it is because I love you and because I care about you. The positions
right.
that I hold, the way I run this household, all the things about this, it's all to create a center
Yeah.
Where you can be loved and nurtured and grow into a well-rounded person. If they really feel safe and secure in that, yeah, they're more likely to talk to you as well.
That's very
so
true.
So creating a psychologically safe relationship, a place for them to go, being a confidant
that's
in
huge
small matters so that when something big comes along, you already
right
have a basis
right
of communication
right
with them
yeah
is vital.
My girls, for example, the oldest is 16 now.
Yeah.
The next one in line is 13. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
And I say this, this is not a hubris, this
yeah
is not a braggadocious thing to say, but I mean this sincerely. And you guys have met my girls. I don't personally live in any abject panic at all. First of all, they're about this crisis scenario that you described, this other woman in this particular state
yeah
going through where she
mm-hmm
learns later that her daughter has gone through the school and they've arranged a taxi to go take care of an abortion and the kid comes back and then they've incentivized her not to say anything because
yeah
they'll take care of the bills and whatever. I don't personally have any fear of that
right
with my girls because I will tell you what they would do, and the ones that you guys, the people here in the studio audience that have met them know this, the first thing would sit uneasy with one of my kids.
Yeah.
If they were in a counseling session or they went to see the school nurse and
yeah
the wrong kind of questions, they get rubbed at all, like daddy's
right
out of the loop on this, they would smell a spidey sense, they'd be at home the next day
right
or the same afternoon. Mom, dad, they were asking me weird
mm-hmm
questions. They wanted me to sign a
what's
weird piece of paper.
About?
They're
yeah
talking about, yeah, they're asking me personal questions about home life. Like, it gives a demonstration of what you're describing, but
yeah
I do realize there are fractured homes
mm-hmm
and
sure
good parents who
yeah
are throwing
right
everything in the kitchen
yeah
sink,
yeah,
single moms,
single
doing
moms
everything
or
they can.
Dads.
You know,
yeah
these are heroes
mm-hmm
raising
sure
kids the
yeah
best they
sure
can, but they're overwhelmed because
absolutely
they've had maybe a spouse step out of the situation.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, teenagers are tough even when you have a married unit that's working together. Like,
yeah
to bring them through all those seasons of hormonal changes
right,
and, you know,
right
psychological developmental stages.
All
and
the
like, there is no reality, in my view, where a kid, you know, what did you say the ages were?
Like 13.
Between 13 and 15, usually they begin to get the first increments of medical autonomy.
Yeah, yeah, being able to decide on any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Even medications, in my view,
no, sure.
I want to be able to be informed about what a doctor recommends that my child take for a sinus
mm-hmm
infection,
no,
for example.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Because those that have met me would know that there are natural ways to bang something like that out. And
right
in the meantime, it doesn't destroy the gut health, for example,
no,
of
exactly
all the healthy bacteria in my child. And so,
mm-hmm,
Allie, you've blown my brains mm-hmm out in
oh,
this
yeah
show.
Exactly.
Like, I still don't know, because it sounds like what we're all getting at here is that legally, starting tomorrow, I mean, there's the long battle, I guess you could make your life's work about fighting your state to change this. And maybe that would be something somebody feels inspired to do
sure
following this program. But in the immediate right
mm-hmm
now,
what can we do?
Your
yeah
best shot is to be informed.
Yeah.
It's like
mm-hmm
Daniel sitting off camera here. He said, you know, medical autonomy is almost gridlocked in
mm-hmm
like the Constitution. You don't
mm-hmm
decide
not
one
wavering
day to just show up and change the way that your school is handling matters because
mm-hmm
they have a ton of like federal incentives to,
sure
to keep this program going and
right
defenses. It's not against the law.
Right. No.
Well,
so, you know, you may make that your life's work, but in the immediate, starting tomorrow,
yeah,
knowing your state laws and to try to build communication with your kids,
yeah, your district,
to me is your
yeah
best arrow in the quiver.
Absolutely.
To try to stave off some. If you're a parent that feels like finding out that your child went through a medical procedure, if that's a nightmare for
mm-hmm
you, that's probably your best arrow in the quiver.
Right.
And understanding, too, that this has been culturally conditioned for a while. A lot of this mm-hmm kind of stuff you're talking about, not being able to take an aspirin or an
yeah
ibuprofen. I remember when I was in high school having this strange, and I remember at the time thinking, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I'm not allowed to have ibuprofen at school. I'm not allowed to take it without my mom writing
yeah
a thing out.
Yep.
And then they brought condoms in, the condom availability programs, and they call them CAPS, in the nurse's office. So here I can go and I could get a condom if I wanted, but not an ibuprofen. And I'm going, hold on, what's
how
going on here? So now I'm 46.
Right.
And so my kids are raised. And so our generation has already slowly been heated up to this idea. You can come in here and start this newer, you can adult younger than you're technically supposed to be adulting,
right,
and you can make your own mature
gender
decisions.
Gender fluidity.
All of these
all
things.
The things.
And this has been
all
started years ago. It takes a long time.
Yeah.
And they started and they heated up very slowly over generations.
Yeah.
And it's very subversive.
This is why it's so impactful too for us, you know, in the home from the time that they're born, to introduce them to the good news, the gospel
mm-hmm
of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And why we believe what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, my head hurts. I
yeah
can't even.
Yeah, because like I gave you the example of what we've tried to do
yeah
in my home.
Absolutely.
But again, I know that there
yeah
are homes where the parents are not engaged at all.
Sure.
And to me, the victims of all of that persuasion external, you know, the governmental programs that we're thrusting on the kids to try to navigate what gender they are or what type of being they identify as being or whatever else, where the parents are not engaged, kids will do what kids absolutely do. If I had not had a bedrock mom and dad, I don't even know who I would be today. Seriously.
Right. No, that's
with all the options now to be whatever I would have wanted to be at 13 back when I was in all kinds of trouble. And, you know, I was very blessed because I had good principles and good people around me that believed in me. And I wrote about that in my book, Everyday Champions. Yeah. But I'm just saying, a disadvantaged kid in a home that's broken with parents that are not paying attention, and maybe one of their high school counselors is literally their hero. He's going to be the titanist influencer over that child.
An overwhelmed school system. You know, we were, I was just listening this morning to the state that we live in, particularly, is the lowest paid educator state in our public school system. And now we are thrusting and entrusting that on them to make decisions on our behalf without our knowledge. That's just, that's a frightening concept to me.
And
it's
ultimately, the children are the ones who pay this price because they are not old enough to understand what's being presented to them.
Sure.
And by the time some of these decisions are made and the consequences are playing out,
damage.
Right. If we set them up to fail by not giving them adequate counsel.
Yeah, that's so scary. We are so out of time, but what an eye-opening conversation, Ellie. Thank you so much for bringing that to us today, Joe. Thanks for being here. I'm Charisse Parton. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. Eat better, feel better, live better. We'll learn more together next time on Return to Eden.
Hi there, I'm Brie Graffio with Eden's Essentials, and I'm here today with Daniel Belt, and we're going to talk to you today about our Eden's Fermented Turmeric and Ginger. Daniel, what can you tell us about our product today?
Yeah, so first, what turmeric is for. It has many properties outside of being just delicious. It is a common spice, but it's typically used for proper inflammatory responsing. It's good for cardiovascular health. It's good for the liver. It has shown benefits to helping out with blood sugar as well. So it really addresses a variety of issues that are common today.
That's so great. Is there anything that you can tell us about what makes our formulation great and different from other formulations?
Sure. Turmeric works very well specifically with ginger, so that it's also in it. And then, again, a big asset to our products in specific, which is a common theme here, which is fermentation is king.
Absolutely.
It's fermented, and when we put it through that process, it unlocks the nutrients that are in the spices in order to make them more bioavailable to us. And in that process, other nutrients are created as well that provide a wide range of nutritional benefits and health benefits across the board. And that would be the main reasons that it's really good.
Absolutely, I agree. Thank you. Now, you could go to the grocery store and start to incorporate some organically grown turmeric and ginger, or of course, you can call us at 1-800-652-7168 or order online. And of course, if you have any questions, please feel free to email us at info@edensessentials.com. Thank you.